This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Chapter 8, Sweetness, Delight of Faith. Narrated Anas radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever possesses the following three qualities will have the sweetness of faith. The one to whom Allah and His Messenger becomes dearer than anything else. Who loves a person and he loves him only for Allah's sake. Who hates to revert to atheism as he hates to be thrown into the fire.
Now the previous chapter was about what? Loving the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is part of Iman. Now it is appropriate to mention that there is a sweetness and benefits of Iman. So, is there a taste and sweetness of Iman? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ رَسُولًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The Prophet says, he will find the taste of Iman. Whoever is pleased to have Allah as his Lord, Islam as his religion, and Muhammad as his messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. You will find the taste. So, are you pleased with Allah and Islam and the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam? Then you should find the taste. But how can we find the taste? And is this taste physical or sentimental? Now, a lot of us may complain that we do salat and we do not have any taste for it. We fast, but we don't enjoy fasting. Sometimes you see people and they're so happy, energetic, and you become depressed once you know that they're fasting Monday or Thursday. He's like this in fasting, and I'm like this, and I'm not fasting. What is this? Sometimes, ibadah elevates you. And definitely, sins depress you. Without any compromise. Once you do sins, it will put you down. Maybe it will make you happy for half an hour. The moment that you are doing the sin. In the beginning, you sin. And you regret, feel remorseful, cry, and repent to Allah. This is in the beginning. After a week, you sin again. But you're still remorseful, regretful, and you cry, but less. After few times, you start to lose the crying bit. You're remorseful, but you don't cry anymore. After a while, you lose the remorse. So you commit the sin, and it's something normal. After a while, you start to enjoy it. You become addicted. You can't feel remorse, regret, and you're not sad about it. However, you're still concealing it. Nobody knows about it. After a while, you start to do it in public. No remorse, no regret, and you're having fun. And the last stage is the stage of the hypocrites. Those who do sin, do not regret it, do not feel sad, do it publicly, and call others to follow them. This is the stage of hypocrites. The callers to sin. So may Allah Azza wa Jal have mercy on us. And then we complain, why don't we find the taste of Iman? Because we're so sinful, we are like someone who's sick. Have you ever tried, while being sick, to find taste of food? You taste honey, it's not sweet. You eat rice, it's not the same taste, because you're sick. The food is okay, Likewise, when you come to forms of worship, why do I not find the taste? Because you, my friend, are sick with these sins. And everything has a taste. Hunger has taste. Though I'm not eating anything, but I can find it. Defeat. When someone beats me, I feel the taste of defeat. And those who will find the content and the pleasure in worshiping Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal will make them find the taste of ibadah, of iman. What is the taste of iman? It is being content and happy. I can be poor, I can be sick, I can have calamities, but because I am pleased with Allah Azza wa Jal, with Islam, with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, I can find that taste. Now the taste can be sour, can be bitter, and can be sweet. Now the hadith talks about what? About sweetness. So how could that be? I could work in a place that is hot, like this auditorium. In the morning it was cold, huh? Now it's, maybe it's with the monitor. I could work in a place that is hot, that is tight, that is bad ventilation in it. Here I'm okay, I don't know about you guys there. However, the pay is very good. How would I feel the environment? I'm fine, I'm happy, as long as I'm being paid. You could work in a palace with nice view, with air conditioning, and everything is fine, but the pay is very bad. How would you feel? You would feel miserable. Now, the hadith, we can devote a full lecture for it. And you'll find it on YouTube, in my channel, inshallah, because I did a lecture on this hadith. We cannot do this. We don't have the time. However, these things, you will find the sweetness. Again, the sweetness is something that is not physical. It's not like honey and sugar. You cannot find the sweetness, but it is something that you feel. An elevation of iman that even if people want to take it from you, you will do jihad. The kings and presidents fail to find it. They would like to buy it off you and you do not want to sell. It is a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal. However, you will not find this sweetness until you have these three characteristics in you. What are they? One, to love Allah and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam more than anything else. And we have a big deficiency in this field. Our love is a claim. When you come to practice, I love playing more than salat. I love being clean shaved more than following the sunnah, for example. I love to mix with the opposite gender more than attending a course with Sheikh Asim. I'd like to have fun, play, enjoy myself, watch a movie, rather than make hifz of one juzu. So, if this is our reality, how are we going to ever find the sweetness of iman? Problematic. And there are so many examples where people love Allah and the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam more than anything else. For example, and I will not go to, I have so many of them, but not enough time. Bishr, or Abbad ibn Bishr, he was one of the Muhajireen. Ammar ibn Yasir was also from the Muhajirin. There was an army. They camped at night. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, who will guard us? So these two came, Abbad ibn Bishr and Ammar ibn Yasir. So Ammar said, I'll take the first nap. You take the first shift, I will sleep. And when my shift is over, wake me up and you go to sleep. So, okay. Abbad ibn Bishr looked. There's no internet, no WhatsApp, nothing. So what is the best thing to do? Pray. Everybody's asleep. So he started praying night prayer. Not knowing that there was a spy from the enemy who the Muslims took his wife as a slave when they raided their home. So he was angry and he said, I will not return until I kill someone. So he waited until everybody was asleep, and then he saw this man who was a guard standing. So he took an arrow and he shot the first arrow. Abbad was praying. He did not move. He shot him with a second arrow. He did not move. He shot him with a third arrow. Abbad continued his prayer quickly because he felt tired after three arrows. And he woke Ammar ibn Yasir. Ammar saw the blood and the arrow, said, Subhanallah, why didn't you wake me up earlier? He said, I was reciting a surah. It was so beautiful, I did not want to interrupt it. This is Ammar hearing it from Abbad ibn Bishr. Enjoying salat with three arrows. Had he not feared that he will die and subsequently the enemy would attack the Muslims, he would not have interrupted it. He would have died. No problem. I'm enjoying it. I'm having a good time. How is our prayer compared to theirs? We have a problem. Do we enjoy it? I told this earlier somewhere, I don't know where. In Fajr, where I pray in near my home, the salat is beautiful, tranquility, air conditioning is good in the masjid. You have to write it down. And when the imam is reciting, mashallah, beautiful voice, and all of a sudden, people starting jumping and hitting the roof because a cat came and started intermingling between their legs, and all of a sudden, they feel this fur coming. And so many times while praying, you just imagine what happens when a cockroach. People go outside, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. We don't know what's happening until we see it. Said, oh, what happens if a dragon comes in? This is how is our prayer? We don't feel it. Abbad ibn Bishr, three arrows and would not move him. And we, a small insect, does this to us. So you have to compare your salat. What's missing? You have to work out. If your stamina is bad, do aerobics. Do cardio. If your muscles are small, start to lift up some weights. You have to do something. If your iman is weak, what to do? This is where we have to look into it. Number two, and to love someone, I'm reading from memory, huh? For the sake of Allah. That's it. You don't love anyone except for the sake of Allah. Those who we know, if I open my contact list, whom can I say, sake of Allah, sake of Allah, sake of Allah, business, entertainment, authority, I need him for reservations. Who among my contact, mashallah, tabarakallah. See, it's not what you know. It's who you know that can make things different. Coming again, who among our contact list can we say that this is a friend for the sake of Allah? Many or few? We have a problem. We need brothers for the sake of Allah. Sisters need sisters for the sake of Allah. But when all those we know are only acquaintances, or this man is, I know him because he's funny. This friend of mine, I know him and he's my friend because he knows people. He can cut a lot of red tape. This person is rich. I'd like to be with him because he has a fancy car. This friend is so and so. But rarely you will find someone saying, I love this brother because he prays night's prayer, or he fasts Mondays and Thursdays, or he is obedient to his parents, or he is generous, or he reminds me of Allah, or we give tahfidh Quran together. Then if we don't have such a friend who loves a person and he loves him only for the sake of Allah, then we have a problem. The majority of people we know, we love them not for the sake of Allah. How do you know? If one of your friends did something wrong, or said something wrong about you, or did not invite you, and you cut him off, this is not for the sake of Allah. You always make up excuses for your brother. When he doesn't come, wallah, maybe his mother was sick. Wallah, maybe he had some excuse. He did this, he did that. When is our friendship is for the sake of Allah? It's when you need money and I have it, I give it to you. I don't wait. What? Eat it? This one. Okay. Yeah, you should have told me that before. I was shouting. I don't know why. So seriously, we have to work on finding a Muslim that we love for the sake of Allah. And remember, among the seven in the shade of Allah, two met for the sake of Allah and separated for the sake of Allah. So our relationship should be based on the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. The closest to me is the closest to Allah. And those we have, we need salt and pepper to make the food good. So I need someone who knows someone. I need someone who's rich, but he's not as close to me as my real brothers who fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Thirdly, who hates to revert to disbelief, I don't know why he chose atheism, as he hates to be thrown into the fire. And this is the last characteristics, which is that in order to find the taste of Iman, that you hate sin in general and disbelief in particular. Now, hating disbelief is every Muslim has this. You have no problem. No one loves disbelief. We all hate disbelief. Whether it's associating others with Allah, disbelieving in one of Allah's rulings, or even atheism. All kind of disbelief, we hate it. But also hating sins. Imagine, trenches dug, fire lit, and you're given the choice between associating others with Allah or jumping in the fire. What would you do? Associate others with Allah, tawan. Of course. Definitely. I don't have to think twice. I have the permission. I have the exemption. Each one of us has an excuse. But in Surah Al-Buruj, Ashab Al-Ukhdud, you know the story of the young boy and the king and the sorcerer. This is well known to you. When the young boy, Abdullah, told the king how to kill him, He told him, take an arrow from my own and put it in the bow and shoot me in my head, in my forehead, saying, Bismillahi Rabbil Ghulam, in the name of Allah, the Lord of the boy. And the king was saying that he was what? He was Allah, he was the Lord. So when he did this in front of all the people and the boy died, what did the people say? If the king says Bismillah, then we worship Allah, not worship him. So he dug these trenches and had fire lit into it. And whoever does not return to worshiping him, they will burn him alive. What happened? The whole village decided to die for the cause of Allah. This shows you that they felt the sweetness of Iman from day one, from hour one. We've been living Islam all of our lives. What have we done to Islam? This is problematic. Look at the people of the cave, how they fled their families, how they fled their wealth and power, and decided to go into a cave running with their Iman. Look at Yusuf, peace be upon him. That's awkward. Yusuf, a handsome young boy, young man, who is being called to fahisha, to zina, not to pay money, not to do any effort. It's in your house, closed. The mistress is calling you. He refuses and decides to go to jail. What kind of Iman is this? 20 years ago, I used to teach in high school. And I was mentioning to my students, 17 years, 18 years of age, about the story of Yusuf and how he resisted the temptation of fornication by this beautiful woman who's rich and capable. You know what my students said? Sheikh, where can we find such a woman? In the middle of the lecture, I'm giving it to them, and the students say, Astaghfirullah. This is Islam by birth, not by conviction. Muslims who have belief, they believe that I would never love to go back into sin even if they burn me alive. Of course, there are so many things, but you will find them in the lecture, inshallah, on YouTube. How to increase my Iman to reach the level of sweetness. There are steps, but among them is you have to learn Allah's beautiful names and attributes. If I give you an A4 paper and I tell you, write the names of Allah that you know, how many can you reach? 10? 15? Now, if I tell you in the remaining of the paper, give me the meaning of these names. If I tell you, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ, what is the meaning of الصَّمَدُ? I don't know. If you don't know who you're worshipping, his names, his attributes, how will you find the sweetness of Iman? I'm just praying to whom? I don't know. They told me face direction, not direction. Qibla. Huh? Face Qibla and do this, and I'm doing it. Then we need to have knowledge. The more knowledge, the more you will find the sweetness. Reciting the Quran increases your Iman. Reading the seerah of the Prophet والسلام, increases your Iman. Doing a lot of good deeds and avoiding sins, this makes boosts your Iman to the top, inshallah. Following hadith.
Chapter 9, to love the Ansar is a sign of faith. Narrated Anas radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, love for the Ansar is a sign of faith and hatred for the Ansar is a sign of hypocrisy.
طيب. Now, this hadith deals with a sign of Iman, which means Our topic is chapter dealing with Iman. So these things increase your Iman. Among the things that increase your Iman is your love to the Ansar. And who are the Ansar? They are the inhabitants of Medina. So we have those who migrated to them, and they're called Al-Muhajirun. And we have the Ansar, and then we have those who followed them bi ihsan, and those are us, insha'Allah. Mentioned in Surah Al-Hashr. Allah mentioned the three categories in Surah Al-Hashr. للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانه وينصرون الله ورسوله أولئك هم المفلحون والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم. You have to correct me if I make a mistake. But if فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. This is us, those who come after him, after them. يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. These are the three categories of the believers, the muhajirin, who left everything, their wealth, their families, their country, and went for the sake of Allah and His Messenger. And then there are those recipients, those of the host country, who opened their homes, who shared their wealth, and gave them everything they wanted. And not only that, favored them with things that they need most, yet they decided to favor them. And the third category are those who came afterwards, yet they pray that Allah Azza wa Jal forgive those who came before them and not to leave any hatred or grudges towards the believers. So a sign of your Iman is that you have this great love to the companions, especially to the Ansar. And the Prophet made it, alayhi salatu wasalam, a sign of Iman for those who love, which means that it's a sign of hypocrisy for those who hate. So anyone who hate the companions of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, is a hypocrite. And Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet said, no one would love you except a believer, and no one would hate you except a hypocrite. And loving them does not mean that they do not do any mistake. They're humans. They're not infallible. And loving them does not mean that they may not fight with one another. Did they not fight with one another? But their fighting was not due to hatred. There had been some unfortunate incidents between the companions. Wars, disputes, but never ever accusing one another of hypocrisy or of kufr or hating one another. It's a difference of opinion that was misused by others with ill intent and hidden agenda that caused all of this to happen. Moving on.
Narrated Ubadah bin As-Samit radiallahu anhu, who took part in the Battle of Badr and was a naqib, a person heading
Naqib.
And was a naqib, a person heading a group of six persons. On the night of Al-Aqaba pledge, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, while a group of his companions were around him, swear allegiance to me for not to join anything in worship along with Allah, not to steal, not to commit illegal sexual intercourse, not to kill your children, not to accuse an innocent person, to spread such an accusation among people, not to be disobedient when ordered to do good deed. The Prophet ﷺ added, whoever among you fulfills his pledge will be rewarded by Allah, and whoever indulges in any one of them except the ascription of partners to Allah and gets the punishment in this world, that punishment will be an expiation for that sin. And if one indulges in any of them and Allah conceals his sin, it is up to him to forgive or punish him in the hereafter. Ubadah bin As-Samit added, So we swore allegiance for these points to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Okay, you did not hear the hadith, huh? Repeat again? No, I was joking. So this is a long hadith. Can you discover or find out why Al-Bukhari brought this hadith? Of course, he brought the hadith because he had an intention. There is wisdom. But why? After lunch, maybe people would feel a little bit sleepy. Would you like to stand up for a while? Just, you know, shake your bones. Even standing up would be difficult. Huh? Try to stand up just to stretch a little bit. I didn't have lunch, by the way. Otherwise, I would have slept. Yalla, okay? Alhamdulillah. Bismillah. Tayyip, again, question. Why? Why did Al-Bukhari bring this long hadith? Does anyone know? Cut the long story short. No, we don't know. The answer is, we're talking about the chapter dealing with Iman. Some said that Iman is a whole entity, whether it's found or void. Others say Iman is a whole entity, it is never void, it's always there. So who said that Iman can be cancelled? The Khawarij. If you do a major sin, it will what? Nullify your Islam. You're not a Muslim, you're a kafir. Khawarij, when you see these terrorists, like the ISIS, what is ISIS? Non-Islamic state of Iraq and Syria. It is haram to call it ISIS, Islamic state. This is not Islam. So they're non-Islamic state. When you see them taking Muslims and slaughtering them, or killing them, or a pilot from Jordan, they burn him alive. What is this? Just halal. He's a kafir. How did he become a kafir? If you read their info, and I don't ever advise you, they make everyone kafir. Everyone, except them. So the rulers are kafir. The judges are kafir, because they obey them. The army that defends them are kafir. The families of the soldiers are kafir because they're supporting them. So every single person is a kafir. Why? Because they committed a sin, and this sin voids and nullifies Islam. This hadith, so long, do not associate others with Allah, do not steal, do not commit illegal sexual intercourse, do not kill your children, not to accuse innocents, not to be disobedient when ordered to do something. The Prophet says, alayhi salatu wasalam, where are we? No, second slide. And whoever indulges in any of them, meaning these major sins, and gets the punishment in this world, ish, the punishment will be an expiation for that sin. So he's not a kafir. But what about if he was not punished? And if one indulges in any of them And Allah conceals his sin. It is up to him, that is on the Day of Judgment, to forgive or to punish. Which means that you, Khawarij, what you're saying that he's kafir and he's in hell for eternity is baseless. It hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. How do you want us to believe you? And this is the trademark of the people of innovation. What is their trademark? Is that they come to one single evidence. And they say that this is what we are going to build our religion upon. So if you give them another evidence from the Quran or another evidence from the authentic hadith, they say no. We follow this one. And this is the way of deviancy. They went to an ayah for Quran. بَلَا مَنْ كَسَبَ سَيِّئَةً وَأَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيئَتُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. This ayah is Surah Al-Baqarah. Verily, those who commit a sin and their sin surrounds them, they are forever abiding in hell. So this is khalas, crystal clear. The ayah is obvious. So I come to them and I say, okay, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ. Allah does not forgive that people associate others with him, but what? He forgives whatever else he wishes. So what do we do with this? By comparing apple to apple, it's obvious that the sin that surrounds you and abides you in hell for eternity is what? Shirk. Other than that, it is up to Allah's forgiveness. And this is manhaj Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. That every sin other than shirk. And when we say shirk, what falls underneath it? Atheism, kufr, disbelief. Because a person who is an atheist, he says, I don't worship Allah. I don't believe in the existence of Allah. Is he mushrik? He is. He said, how can he be associating others with Allah when he is not admitting the existence of Allah? He admits it, but he is worshipping his own desires and whims with Allah. So he claims that he doesn't believe, but he believes. Any atheist found, put him in an airplane and let there be turbulence in the airplane or about to crash. What will he do? Ya Allah. Subhanallah, now, once he lands, there is no God. I'm convinced. So they know it deep down inside. So this hadith clearly explains to us the concept of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, which is, one, if you make one of the sins that has prescribed punishment, What is the meaning of prescribed punishment? In Arabic, it's hudud. What is meant by hudud? There are a number of sins. If committed, Allah Azza wa Jal prescribed particular punishment. These are major sins. For example, disobedience of mother. What is the prescribed punishment? No. What is no? Huh? Who knows? No one? There isn't. When saying prescribed, meaning that there is something to be implemented in this dunya. Disobeying the parents or being undutiful is one of the major sins, but it's so major that Allah did not even put a punishment for it in this dunya. It's delayed on the hereafter. But fornication, what is the prescribed punishment? Stoning if married or previously married, or flogging 100 lashes. Consuming intoxicants. What is the prescribed punishment? Lashes. flogging 40 to 80, depending on the ruler. Slandering a person, mainly women. If we slander a woman, what is the punishment? Huh? Flogging 80 lashes. Stealing something. Chop off the hand. And so on. One would say, okay, what is the punishment for killing? Killing is not a prescribed punishment. It is qasas. It is making even. And this is why if someone kills someone, his family has the right to either demand execution, an eye for an eye, a life for a life, or take blood money, a diya, or forgive. And this is the best and highest of all.